The name of this order of my steps is foolishness or faith. You may be asking, how can we use these words in the same sentence? Well, unfortunately, due to misinformation and ignorance and us not really getting the information we need from the word, a lot of times what people claim to be faith is in actuality foolishness. And we have to know the difference. Now, of course, God prepares us for it, but if I go about it the wrong way, I'm going to miss it. And we have to make sure we understand it, because faith is a major part of every Christian's life. I'm going to start off with a scenario to help give us a clear understanding of it. And we're going to kind of go over faith in the beginning, but then we're going to show the element that's needed in order for it to be continue to be faith and not lean over into foolishness. First of all, this scenario, two men, we'll call one Minister A and the other Minister B, starting in the ministry, decided to step out on faith. I put those in quotes because that's what we call it, and start their church. They both quit their jobs and both put their life savings into the church. Minister A seemed to have failed. He went bankrupt and had to find another job to pay his debts and cost of living. Minister B seems to have succeeded, with membership growing and enough income coming in to support him and his family. Now, I underline the word seen because that's very important for us to recognize in this scenario, because then a question is asked, which minister truly stepped out on faith? Now, unfortunately, many would say Minister B stepped out on faith based on how it seemed. But we must consider the following. Two examples in the Bible. The one, the Church of Smyrna, which we find in Revelations 2, 8 through 11, seemed like a failure. But God revealed to us in his word, it was truly a success. But the Church of Laodicea in Revelations 2, 14 through 22, seemed like a success, but was truly a failure. That was one of the most eye-opening things, and you see a lot of stuff like that in the Bible in which God reveals the truth, which definitely contradicts what the world may call an answer. But you have still many Christians who still go by what they see or how they see it instead of looking for what God says. See, we are commanded to live by faith only. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, we live by faith, not by sight. That goes together, please understand. When it says live by faith, it means it's going to replace the thing it told me not to walk by. And when he says not by sight, he's saying never. It's not they walk together. You may say, but we do see, and this sight represents our senses. He's saying, how I respond to my senses better not be based on my senses. Do you understand that? God didn't give me my sight to be part of the thing I respond to. We'll explain that a little bit. See, understand that the minute my eyes see it, I go by what he says and what he gives. Do you get that? And the only way you can do that is my vision or my perception has to be based on something. But if it's based on sight, that means it's based on me. What I see, how I see it. Do you understand this? We must make sure our faith, which is our true perception, is in the right direction. Like Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God, Jesus answered. Have faith in God. You see, everybody in the world can have faith, stopping there. And most people do have faith in something. Most Christians, once again, we don't know any better and we just follow what somebody says without checking it ourselves, have faith in what we want. Looking at those two ministers, they both had a desired outcome. But that's not what I'm supposed to necessarily have faith in. Okay, there's a verse that kind of, if you read it by itself, it may make you think that. But overall, when you read all of the verses, you'll realize motive comes into play. His will comes into play. God comes into play. God at times says no. God at times says later. God at times says hold on. Faith in God means, this means I have faith in God no matter the response. I'm looking for his answer. I want his response. I want his way in what I see. Sometimes he's going to tell me to keep going. Sometimes he's going to tell me to stop. But it's a full dependence on him. Remember that, because we're going to see an example. Here's an example first of understanding the process of faith. Matthew 14, 25 through 29 says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And Peter got down out the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. Now we know the rest of this story where Peter messed up, but we're just talking about this point right here, right? This point right here is a perfect example of the process of faith. Peter checked with Christ. Okay, Christ is the word. He checked with him to make sure, okay, it's you. You tell me before I do. He received the answer from Christ, not from somebody distorting it, not from what I feel Christ should do. He didn't say, hey, if he can do it, I should be able to do it. I'm just going to walk on water. No, he checked with him. And then when Christ said, come, okay, I got my answer from Christ. And he acted on what Christ said. Peter got down off the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. Now, where he messed up later, if you continued reading this, is he started sinking because he allowed fear to start playing a part in what he seen instead of completely going with what Christ said. You hear me? Okay? So unless God clearly tells us to do something or builds the basis for what we do, godly wisdom will display godly faith. Hopefully you understand what that means. In other words, unless you clearly hear God, and please, I can't stress this enough. There's so many people out there that says God says, and who am I to say you have or you have not? It just shows too many times when people who have said God says, you'll find out that he definitely didn't say it. Two ways you'll find out. If they said God said something's going to happen, then the outcome will reveal if it's true or not. Secondly, if they said God said something and it goes against God's word, it's not God. That's why the Bible tells us to test the spirits. Can't stress that enough. And I'm blown away how many Christians still follow people that say God says, even after those two points are eliminated. It's disturbing, to say the least. But unless you clearly hear him, then we have his word, which I think many will take and they'll say, okay. But you also have his wisdom. And that's what many miss. This is where then it turns into foolishness. You see, God's word and his wisdom is needed to truly step out on faith. You have to have those two elements. It's shown in 2 Timothy 3:15. He says, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, that's his word, which are able to make you, catch this, wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, my wisdom is not through my experience. My wisdom is not through listening to brilliant worldly teachers. My wisdom is not through birth. It's not through gender. It's not through anything else you may think out there. My wisdom comes from his word. And that's why it says, which is able to make you wise. So when I use his book as a light to my path, and I only look for what he says, I gain true wisdom. See, wisdom helps us discern the situation and act wisely. Now, pay attention to what this proverb is saying, because many will miss this, and I'll explain this. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge. So he's saying this wise man will be able to see when it's truly danger and reacts accordingly. But the simple keep going and suffer for it. Foolish. So basically he's saying the simple won't be able to discern because the simple or foolish can't see because their perception is distorted. in order to avoid walking by sight in this situation, because there's a lot of things that my sight tells me is danger and it's really not, and there's a lot of things my sight tells me is not danger and it really is. So to avoid walking by sight, we must make sure it is the right wisdom. Now, this is where it's necessary. What's been happening today, and especially on the internet, there's a lot of people who, in worldly sense, are brilliant. They know how to speak, they know how to twist things, they give you a lot of stuff, and you listen to it. And unfortunately, the naive listen to it. You know how the word says, weak-willed people, and essentially it says weak-willed women in that sense, but it tells you how the naive get caught up in certain things, and we take what they said because it sounds so well put together. But it's missing something, and it has elements to let me know immediately, really, it's not wise. They have worldliness. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20 says, do not deceive yourselves. Once again, deception is a choice. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standard of this age, let me stop there. What is my wisdom from? What am I, when I say you're brilliant, where do I get it from? I know many people that I know is brilliant in the world sense, and most of them are atheists. Why are they atheists? Because you can't be both. He says he should become a fool so that he may become wise. It's hard to be a worldly wise person, which is crazy or wrong in the wrong direction, because it's all sight. It's all based on that man and his experience and his studying. And this is where science can get dangerous. He was like, that's why you become a fool. Because what does it mean become a fool? I'm going to go ask my father. I remember being younger. We had those kids. I got to ask my parents. That was always their answer. We'd ridicule them, call them everything, and their response was still the same. I got to go ask my parents. It says he should become a fool so that he may become wise. It's not until I stopped using the Bible and. What I mean by that is I would use the Bible and other books, use the Bible and these brilliant people that I thought, use the Bible and what I thought, and I would mix these up thinking I'm just brilliant. That's why you get these people that are well read, and now stuff, something's distorted. Because they're taking the stuff that they like out of these books, they're taking the things that they like out of experience, and then they're applying it with the things they like out of the Bible, which means they got to reject stuff out of the Bible, and now we have a problem. That's why he starts off with, don't deceive yourself. Now, if I become a fool here, and he doesn't mean foolish in the sense of bad, he just means become to the point where I absolutely know nothing and I'm just going to the word. He says, for he makes very clear, become a fool so that you may become wise. In other words, start from scratch, just get what God is saying, period. He says, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. And it's a shame because we're really mixing it in God's church. We're getting some worldly, brilliant people to help run the church. He makes clear, as it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are few. You can see them clearly. They'll put these things together and they'll use pieces of the Bible to fit their agenda. It's only those who stay foolish that'll follow it. I can't stress this enough. So how can I distinguish the difference then? When do I know it's worldly? When do I know it's from God? Well, first of all, the ingredients of wisdom we see in Proverbs 8, 12 through 14. He starts off with, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. They go together, okay? And prudence is caution. Prudence is assessing a situation. The difference is, I assess it through faith. What do I mean? I assess it through what God says, not through how I see it. Does this make sense? I don't go, hey, a friend of mine told me not to do this, so I'm going to listen to a friend of mine. Now, unless the friend of mine is a godly person who does things based on the Bible, I'm going to be hesitant when I hear that. However, if I go, you know, the Bible says, so I'm going to be very careful or not do this thing here. Do you see the difference? Prudence will make me assess the situation, filter through my eyesight, which is faith. He says, I possess knowledge and discretion. And then he breaks down something. To fear the Lord is to hate evil, hate pride, arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. I'll explain that. Then he goes, counsel and sound judgment, are mine. I have understanding and power. So, first of all, true wisdom with prudence, as we just explained, will have knowledge and discretion. Now, knowledge means I don't just read the Bible to say I read the Bible. I read the Bible, once again, to become wise and to get to know what God wants me to do, to understand God in God, not understand God in my own understanding. Hopefully you're getting this. In order to do that, I must have fear or reverence for God. And to truly have reverence, I hate evil, so anything that's not of God, I want nothing to do with it. Hate pride, I never in any way hold up or show any sign of, man, I like that pride or that thing of pride. Hate arrogance, anything of arrogance that comes from arrogance, immediately I know that's not from God. Evil behavior, it will not get a pass from me. It better not get a pass from you. I look at it and go, that's wrong. I avoid it. I'm gone. And perverse speech. Now, all of these are very important because I have to get rid of them. Do you understand that? I have to remove them, if you will. They got to be gone. When I hear the type of speech, when somebody's speaking wrong or things that are distorted or things that are outward, immediately a Christian goes, I have nothing to do with that. All of this is very important part of wisdom where you go, I'm not listening to that. But you get people. Once again, due to a thing you're going to see, this is the reason why we end up getting caught up in this. Also, it says counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. Let's break this down. First of all, we saw the prudence. We already went over that. That's an assessment using the filter of faith that God has given us. That means just trusting in Him. Knowledge is where I get that understanding of what is right and what is wrong. See, a person with godly wisdom will meet somebody that's not a Christian, and immediately that filter will go into place, and they go, we can't be in a relationship. I can't marry this person because they are not a Christian, and we're unequally yoked. A person without that filter will go, they're a nice person. I've seen them in church sometimes. Maybe they're not a Christian, but who knows what may happen to them, blah, blah, blah. See how that works? Knowledge is how I knew that I couldn't be with that person. That's where we get the information. But I got to be in the Word. I have to be in Bible study. I got to be in church in order to understand. People go to church today to get emotionally inspired, but not to get intellectual. I'm talking about spiritual intellectual as we're supposed to get. What does God say about this? How does God want me to respond to this? What is God's answer to this? And it's all in His Word. A lot of times it's just not the most desirable thing. So we tend to avoid it and say, hey, just give me something to make me feel good so I can go home. Then we have discretion. And now it allows me to make a decision. This even really works on disputable matters. There are certain things where God is saying, you can pick either or. Just make sure you understand that you're still doing it for me. See, in Romans 14, it does speak on disputable matters. But we also see in God's word, we says, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So my discretion will one day make me do something, but I may not do it the next day because I take everything into consideration based on glorifying God. See how this works. This is all elements of wisdom. Counsel. And true counsel is going to come from people of God. You go to Christians. You go to your prayer partner. Everybody should have an accountability / prayer partner. You ask your pastor. In our church, we have many times where we have question and answer. You present that. You ask it. You look to them to give you the answer based on God's word. You want guidance in that to make sure you're not mixing something else in it. Because you want to make sure you're doing it by this other element, sound judgment. That word sound is so important to it because the Hebrew word that is talking about uses this thing that we use for sound doctrine. In other words, solid, not just a scripture. Many Christians, as long as I give you a scripture, you're caught. And like I said, the groups that tend to use the one verse to make you think if you stand believing, you'll receive what you ask for. People love that. And it stops there. The reason why it's not sound, there's another verse where it's saying he's going to say no sometimes because of your motives. And then there's a whole other verse that's saying as long as it's within his will. And those are just two other ones compared to a whole bunch of other ones that come together on how your prayers are answered. But usually we just get that one and that's it. And our judgment's not sound. Remember when Satan tried to attack Jesus and Jesus had to with the word and Jesus had to come back with, it is also written. In the same sense, we have to make sure we know the also written in order for my judgment to be sound. I have to take everything God says to make that. Then I have to have understanding. Please do not mix up understanding with your understanding. All right? The difference is, understanding is I hear what he's saying in order to do what he's saying. Right? I can articulate what God is saying to me in order to do it. My understanding is it doesn't make sense to me. In other words, I have to be okay with it. So it can't be my understanding. It has nothing to do with what I'm okay with. It has nothing to do with how I see it. It better be on, you told me to walk down the street. Okay, I'm walking down the street. My understanding would be, God, why am I walking down the street when I'm already here? You're going to make me come back. It doesn't make any sense. His understanding, he told me to walk down the street. So down the street, this street is where you want me to walk down. Is that it? See the difference? And then we have power. And anytime you see this power that God gives us, it's his power. Because when I then go by faith, I'm 100% trusting in him. Do you get this? All of these comes as ingredients to wisdom. If these don't exist with what we saw from fear, and I can't stress that fear thing. If you still, and I'm still blown away, how we allow evil, how we allow pride, how we allow arrogance, how we allow evil behavior, how we allow perverse speech, and we still call ourselves Christians. If I don't fear God, I'm not a Christian. I'm walking by other junk and not by true fear of God. Now, if I do this, I'm going to see true traits of wisdom. But first, we're going to see the bad traits. First of all, James 3, 13 through 18 gives us two elements. And the more I look at his word, once again, how powerful his word is, these two elements are the main two elements which makes us fools. And walking by foolishness instead of faith. These two elements, we'll talk about it. James 3, 13 through 18, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life. Good life, remember, only being God. So it's going to be a godly life. By deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. So I'm going to watch your actions. You're going to watch my actions. And they're going to be based on godliness, God's word, me doing it based on humility, me not adding or taking away from it. Y'all catch this. All right. And he was like, that's when you see that. That's when you see this wise person. That's when you know somebody's wise. Their actions. When I see somebody do actions and it's based on some nonsense or stuff that's not from God's word, I have a problem and you see more foolishness. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of foolishness and we can call it foolishness because God's word calls it foolishness. And he's telling us to assess this situation. You'd be able to sit down and go, this thing you just did based on God's word was foolishness. And here's the deal. He says in verse 14, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. Now, these two elements, dangerous elements, and the translation of these mean what this says. When it says bitter envy and selfish ambition, the envy, as I have below, means driven by what others have. And the word bitter is in it is I'm totally driven by what others have. Selfish ambition is I'm driven by what I want. And that really means what I want is the sole purpose of my walk. That's why he says in your hearts. The driving force in what I do is what you have and I want it and what I want. He's saying that right there will eliminate wisdom, which will make us walk by foolishness, not faith. That's why he says two things that people tend to do with these two dangerous elements that everybody has. And we've got to be careful of, but unfortunately, they're driving forces. He first says, do not boast about it. If you pay close attention, some of the most, and I'm putting up in quotes, successful people in the world, based on worldly success, have these two traits. That's not a good thing. But because we attach the word success to them and not measure it through God, we think it's good. Or he says, deny the truth. Even though everybody's sitting there watching that you're a selfish person or an envious person, you sit there going, I'm humble. If I got to tell somebody I'm humble, it usually means I'm not humble. When a person plays a victim and they're always complaining and everything comes from how they see it, they got these traits. And he was like, this version of wisdom, which is really foolishness. Look what he says about it in verse 15. He says, for such wisdom, which is really not wisdom, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, watch this, of the devil. It's stuff that Satan has instilled in us that gives us an emboldened feeling, but it's extremely dangerous. He says in verse 16, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." He didn't say some, he said every evil practice. Every evil practice, that's covering it all. These two elements are the main two elements which will make my quote unquote, what I think is faith, foolishness. Because I'll be led by those, not by God. But then he breaks it down and gives us the other end. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all. The beautiful thing with this is he puts this one in order and he really shows us what we need to do. I'm going to read it first and we'll break it down. He says, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, a good fruit, impartial, and sincere. He says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Let's break these down. First of all, he says pure. Anytime the Bible means pure, it means when I sit down and I talk to you and I get your input on what you're doing, it'll be fully based on the Bible. I'll hear a nice sound, God glorifying what his word says. I hear any other outside wisdom, it's not pure. And that's where we mess up. I've heard people who will justify something by using some fake story or distorting a story in the Bible to make what they feel work because it's what they want. Once again, selfish ambition. The ones who are sound will go, I can't go by that because it's not in God's word or it's not soundly in God's word. That pureness is so important. It's the thing that keeps us honest because he's the way, the truth, and the life. You just give me solid word on what you're doing. That'll make your faith straight. Either of those ministers that we just started with, as long as they got it purely from the word, what they were doing. You get where I'm going with this? Not some other person going, hey, this is great. You need to start a ministry. But strictly, the reason why I'm doing this is because God's word says, then they're good. Secondly, peace loving. In today's world, it's the us against them. When I have the envy and I have the selfish ambition, I know what I want. Christians are so separated today, and that should disturb us. And we think what's going to fix it is if the other group would just listen to us, and the other group thinks if they would listen, if we would listen to them, and so on and so forth. And there should not be this other group. The problem is what's not separating us is right from wrong. You know what I mean? And I use it in our political system. Both Democrats and Republicans are disturbingly wrong, but we have still chose sides. Now, do they have right things in them? Yep. And what we'll do is we'll lean on those right things until somebody goes, but what about these wrong things? Yeah. And we blow them off. Peace loving is recognizing these things that are wrong, they shouldn't even be part of my vocabulary, so I can't be part of this group. Peace loving is realizing this is going to cause a problem in my decisions and in my walk. Because peace loving will then be considerate. I consider everyone. What came to mind is I had to listen to everyone. Now, once again, when a person is totally outside of God, I got to rebuke. You got to rebuke. I got to do it as lovingly, and sometimes it doesn't work out that way. But consider it means I still got to consider what you're saying, but it better be based on God. Consider it. Then submissive. And we did a whole order of my steps on submissive. I did it last week. You're just getting this, and if you get a chance, listen to it. But submissive means yielding to other people in your lives based on their title through God. Now, what that means is what God says about them is how I responded, not how I think. Do you understand that? How God says I'm supposed to respond to you, I'm supposed to respond to you. So submission in my wisdom is going to be based on that too. Full of mercy. Bowels of mercy is where that first comes, and where you just have so much mercy. Too many times, we don't have mercy. We have contempt. Mercy is, let's say they do get it wrong. I have to lovingly try to redirect them, not rudely or ignorantly dismiss them. You see, this wisdom or this faith has to show God, and our God is merciful. God works on us seeing when we're wrong, not for us browbeating, not him browbeating when we're not. And then we have to have good fruit. That's of the Spirit. That's all of those cases that the fruit of the Spirit gives us, that we have to display the Spirit. In other words, when this is good fruit, it means I'm Spirit-led, not emotionally led, not intellectually led, not ignorantly led, and not culturally led. I am spiritually led. And then impartial, I won't be a hypocrite. I won't be one-sided. It won't work for my desire, and then I'm wrong when it doesn't go for my desire. And then the last part of wisdom, that element, that thing that we need is sincerity. Now, I got to stress this because a lot of times when we hear sincerity is based on me. Most people go, I can't forgive them because I really don't feel like I forgive them. So you're basing sincerity on you and you're already corrupt. How dare you make a decision based on you? True sincerity is in God. In other words, if I forgive you, it'll be because God said so, despite how I feel. And I better forgive you. You see the difference? Sincerity of everything is me doing it because God said, despite me. This is what you'll see in true godly wisdom. This is what you'll see in a person walking by faith. This is not what we're seeing. Please examine yourselves. Help us to examine one another. We got to be honest because God's not going to come around and say you did your best if we did not, when he gives us clear instruction on this. So ask yourself, is that faith you're walking by truly faith, or is it foolishness? Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we come to you in faith, hopefully in your being led by your word, doing what you say, dear Lord, trying to eliminate all these other sources and distractions outside that try to pull us one way or the other. Help us, dear Lord, to keep focused and monitoring on you, dear Lord, in all that we do, that we walk in such a way that we glorify you in all that we do. Thank you so much for your word, dear Lord, that breaks these things down and gives us this clarity. Now let us use that and not use the excuses and our emotions to get in the way. As we leave out of here, dear Lord, we ask for continual blessings on those who are struggling, those who are having a hard time, and let us keep seeking you and your word at all times. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, Amen.